When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Bing, 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 bing. It's suggestible in the city. How
Certainly
are you,
is.
James?
I'm good. I'm just thinking to myself, and this is in no relation to necessarily any particular episode, but not everything can be good all the time. Not everything connects. Sometimes it feels like they're just spinning their wheels. You know what I mean?
Oh, mate.
Until the big finale.
Is that what happens, do you think?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Cause
not always. There are some exceptions to shows, but, yeah, generally.
Oh, mate. So yeah. Just if you're new to this, this is a recap show of The Wonderful and Just Like That.
Ah, wonderful.
Sex and the City new series.
That's
TV
right.
TV show series. This is episode 9 that we are recapping. My name is Claire Tonti. James Clement is here also. He's Mr. Sunday Movie.
I am.
We're married and I am sometimes on Instagram. When I'm not in school on some holidays.
Sure, that's fun. I mean, this to me also confirms that the fact that they can put in an episode like this, and look, it was fine, whatever.
It was a weird episode.
Yeah, but like it kind of feels like they're obviously saving some stuff for season 2, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Because if this was just 10, there's a lot more that would have had to happen.
So much.
To kind of wrap things up, you know what I mean?
Totally, yeah. I did see an article.
They didn't even have a sponsor. It's like they knew.
There was no Peloton.
No.
No Haagen-Dazs or whatever it was, the ice cream.
Wedding rings? Sinks? What are the sponsors this week?
So weird. I saw an article that there is a season 2 slated.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's pretty obvious.
Exactly,
It's been building to that. So this is the first episode that I really just didn't want to watch again.
Yeah, I struggle with this one. And you normally, you do a big rewatch.
I do. I love a rewatch.
And you only did it as kind of like actually, it had one incredible moment with Anthony.
Yes. I so want to
Don't
talk
worry,
about that.
Everybody listening, that was Claire's phone, not your phone.
No.
Oh, she's done it again.
I've done it again. Oh, God, I've turned it on silence. Nothing. Wait, it hasn't got it. Oh, no. I've done it now.
Sorry.
Fine.
Yeah.
I'm an old lady. I can't figure out my phone.
Yeah, but you still get your period, which is a big part of this episode.
It is, isn't it? Look, I am annoyed. Okay, I'm going to say why I'm so annoyed about a lot of it. And I do want to go through the episode with the like hits of the storyline that you like to do.
No, whatever.
Or can I just say what I'm annoyed about?
No, I don't mind at all.
All right. The thing that I'm annoyed about is that they bring up periods of menopause.
Yeah.
And there are so many things about menopause that I want to know about.
Yeah.
Right? Because I'm headed for it and I don't know.
Like, why is it called menopause?
It
should be called bloody womenopause. Am I right, everyone? Sorry, go on.
Yeah, correct. Maybe it's menopause because men, you pause having sex with men. No.
That's not it true, is it?
I don't know why it's called menopause. I don't know. And I don't know anything about it. And it's going to happen to me.
Yep.
And so there could have been a lot of storylines that were great. And instead it was too hammed up.
Mm.
Charlotte was way too hammed up. There's this whole storyline about her daughter Lily needing to put a tampon in. I actually did find the moments in the bathroom where Charlotte is trying to show her how to do it.
Yeah.
Hilarious. There cool. were moments where they were really hilarious. But overall, it was just not very believable that they were having a dinner party and Lily would suddenly just be like, I'm ready to put in a tampon right at the minute that Anthony would turn up and there's no urgency.
No, and I think also like, and this is not, none of this is my experience obviously, but I feel like I've seen this storyline in other things before, maybe even Sex and the City. Yeah, no, it was a diaphragm. But you know what I mean? I'm sure I've seen the storyline in something else. I can't for the life of me think of what it is. So I don't know. I just didn't think it was funny enough to go for as long as it did or groundbreaking enough. Do you know what I mean? It was just kind
I agree too. I mean, but look, then again, I don't have a teenage daughter. Nope. And often the writers do pull storylines directly from their
lives. Yeah. I'm not saying it's not.
There was some really funny moments. I haven't seen a mother trying to coach a girl on TV to how to put a tampon in. I haven't seen that before, which is pretty hilarious. What annoyed me was the really obvious thing of Charlotte wearing all white at the end of the episode she gets her period.
You saw that coming from...
Totally, yeah. And that was really annoying. I just thought that was too an obvious kind of storyline to go.
I'm glad they didn't play it as like super embarrassing, where like she walked around and like made a fool of herself for this thing that happens to like half the population on the planet, you know. I appreciated that, where I was quickly like, I've always admired that about women, how like if somebody has their period, they rally. I think that's really cool. You know what I mean? Because it's like a shared experience. And
yeah.
And obviously I know there are people
that
who
is
can't,
so but, not true.
No?
Women don't always rally.
Oh, what, they just let people walk around. And...
Actually, no, that's not true. Women, when you're in your 20s, rally. Women, when they're teenagers, can be. Not everyone, obviously. It's just been my experience in high school. Vicious.
Because they're...
Vicious.
Because they're, like, they're all terrified, I guess. And
yeah, they're terrified.
And ashamed, and I don't know.
Yeah, there's a lot of shame. Well, there was. I think I'm hopeful that teenagers now are different.
I think
but
so.
But in my generation, and I went to an all-girls school, it was a thing that was quite shameful and people didn't talk about it openly. And
really?
When you did talk about it, it was sort of done in this way, like, oh, who's got the period? Who's got the period? It was different as you got older.
Yeah.
Like when people started to know how to handle it all. But especially when it's just happening to you in, I don't know, year 7, year 8, when you're 13, 14, 15. It's the same with bra wearing.
Mm.
Girls who developed early, what in my experience, it's just my experience, in primary school were made fun of if they had to wear a bra. It was like
really made fun of.
And it was the same with periods. If you got your period early, it was mortifying.
Yeah.
And when I was teaching 5-6s who are 11 and 12-year-olds, it was mortifying if a girl got her period and you would never talk about it in class openly with anyone, and the boys would make fun of girls for it. If you got a period stain in your dress, you would be hounded by girls at school and disgusting and made fun of.
Oh, God.
It was really awful.
Yeah.
So, yes, I think there is a shift that happens. And this is just my experience. And I think teenagers now are, for want of a better word, way more woke and compassionate in a lot of ways.
Sure.
But I also think that's just a stick that women can beat themselves with.
Yeah, right.
And that was my experience growing up. Yeah.
Wow, that sounds horrendous.
Yeah. However, what I did love about this was that I don't think all women even get spoken to. And they did have that conversation, Carrie and Miranda and Naya were sort of saying, we never had a mother like you that actually showed us how to do it like that and talk about it,
so
openly. Yeah. And I thought that was really cool. They're going for this storyline with Charlotte where she's trying to be really open and vulnerable and honest with her kids, which I guess connects into last week's episode. It just was too hammed up. It wasn't believable.
Yeah, because I completely agree. Like with all, and I think all of that stuff is really interesting and great, and hearing about your experience is interesting as well. But I don't think enough of that was kind of in the story to make it
believable.
Compelling. Or,
no, and I feel like Lily was quite funny, but it was, I mean, and like the flip side of this though, right, is that we don't have teenagers yet.
Nope.
And actually, teenagers' emotions are giant roller coasters.
Oh, yeah.
And they're really big and they are ridiculous.
Mm.
And so maybe if you were a mum or a dad of teenagers, maybe this would resonate in a different way, because the women that are writing this have teenage daughters and are in their 50s.
Yes.
So maybe just I haven't experienced that yet, but to me it just all seemed too hammed up and too big and loud and just not
I did enjoy. I thought her daughter was funny, like in the cubicle, like screaming different things. I thought that was.
Yeah.
I thought she was really good, actually.
She was really comedic, actually, and I did enjoy the interaction.
Yeah, both her kids
are
fun. I think. Yeah.
They are really fun, and in the bathroom when she's sort of coaching Lily, and you openly laughed because she's like, she's going, you have to go sideways, not upwards.
Yeah.
And you were laughing. Did you know
was
that?
I?
Yeah, you laughed.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah, no, I did know that. Yeah, I'm somewhat familiar with the
anatomy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, I do remember when I was in high school, a girl next to me in the cubicle tried to use a tampon for the first time and put it in the wrong way.
Oh, like up, like backwards.
Yeah, backwards, and gave herself an injury. Oh, and I had to get a teacher to come and help her. And it was,
and then
like,
you
it's
mocked
stressful.
Her
I did. It was me, fully. No. Well, obviously, like, I didn't say anything to anyone about it. But she really did herself an injury. She had to go home.
Yeah.
And it is, it's terrifying. The first time you put a tampon in, you don't know what you're doing.
No, of course not.
You have
not.
No idea
yeah.
what's up there. And like, you just, I constantly thought that it was just going to get lost.
Mm.
And I totally related to all that. I just feel like they missed the mark a bit with believable dialogue.
Yeah, yeah.
It just didn't need to be quite as obvious. But yeah, anyway, there's a lot of things like that in this episode that kind of confused me. What did you think about the Steve and Kerry scene?
Yeah, I think it could have been, I mean, it was interesting, and they're fleshing out Steve a little bit more. And I thought that, yeah, you know, he's in a situation where he wanted to speak to Kerry and get some kind of insight. But I didn't fully land for me. Like, I felt sympathy for him. I thought it was strange that he was like, I'm never going to take my wedding ring off.
That was weird.
And which I think also was like more a sign for Kerry to be like, I need to move forward in the things that, you know, in my own personal life. Yeah, I would like to see a little bit more from it. It's not kind of what I want to see out of that character still. What about you?
Well, for starters, I feel like the whole episode didn't go in the direction that I was envisioning.
Well, that is true.
You know.
Yeah, there's a few things in here that zigged instead of zagging. Yeah.
Correct. Yeah, exactly. And I agree. I feel like we saw more of who Steve is in this episode.
Yeah.
You know, he's that guy that's super reliable. He fixed the S-Ben, so because Kerry's wedding Briggs' wedding ring that Kerry was wearing went down the tube and he got it out no problem.
I've done that, Claire.
You have
when you
actually.
You dropped an earring down or something.
You did. You came and Steve Brady the day.
I did.
You see what a good guy he is. And
yeah.
So I do feel like they did a good job in that scene of building his humanity more.
Yeah.
Because it's really not.
And he's not like, what's happening? What? He's wearing his hearing aids, which is good.
Yeah. They're having a proper conversation.
Yeah.
And he's trying to get information out of Kerry, which I think he did previously as well.
In previous seasons. Well, they're like, you know, like we mentioned last week, they're friends. They know each other,
exactly.
You know?
And you see that when Kerry gives Brady a massive hug.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're trying to kind of point that. It felt a bit forced, but you could see that they're trying to like remind the audience that Kerry knows both of them really well,
yes.
And they're friends of, you know, of hers.
And I think it was also good that of him. First of all, my note about Steve, one of my notes was Steve is back and he's sad and he also has questions. But the fact that like he was asking her things that he also realized it was unfair to ask to put Kerry in that position.
Totally.
And he wasn't like, why did you just tell me or whatever? He's like, look, I understand, you know, and he understood that
It's awkward.
It's difficult for her to kind of – it's not her fault and it's also not her problem really, is it?
No,
you know?
And it's just – and it's she is Miranda's closest friend and colleague.
Yeah.
She can't – it's not fair on Miranda or for Steve to ask her to say everything either. She can't. She can't be honest because she's Miranda's friend before Steve's friend.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's just not fair of him. But also you do get that sense that Miranda has forgotten who Steve is.
Yeah.
You know? And
but I think maybe, you know, Steve, and not to lay blame on Steve because I don't think he's in the wrong for not cheating and, you know, just wanting to live a comfortable life.
Yeah.
You know, he did seem like he kind of lost sight of her in a way as well, or kind of, you know, didn't want to.
Or of life, in a way.
Yeah. And I think the reason being because he was happy. So that's, you know, that's sad.
It is sad. Yeah, because I guess. As a previous listener wrote in to talk about the kind of class divide, he's worked in a really physical job for a really long time, in service, really, in a pub and running all those big long nights. He'd be working shift work.
He worked through the pandemic, like, presumably.
Exactly. And so you feel like when he says, I'm happy and settled and all that stuff, you would just assume he was probably really tired and physically tired, right, from his job. And so being able to slow down and rest and relax
the dream.
With the person you love, that's all you ever want to do.
Oh, my God.
And so it is unfair in a way of Miranda to expect him to suddenly turn his whole life on its head and be some other sort of person, particularly when she hasn't had to do that kind of physical labor. And presumably it's possible his hearing loss was due to working in really loud venues and pubs and things. So it is interesting. But then also, is it fair for Miranda to just set it, like, you know, to not, you know, to just sit on the couch for the next 30 years, as she kind of says? I don't know. It's interesting.
I mean, totally. But, you know, then there's maybe just break up with him.
Yeah.
Instead of cheating on it, you know?
Yeah, exactly right. So, I don't know, my little heart broke for him in that scene.
Your little heart broke for Steve's little heart.
I did love him. Yeah, and it was weird. That is so – I just felt like that whole wedding ring thing was a bit weird.
Yeah.
But then I think
we should be celebrating Big's death. That's what I feel like. I'm the only one who's like, good. Good, Carrie. You can meet anybody. Not this teacher guy, probably. Oh, speaking of, this is a segment of the show I like to call Storylines That I'm Surprised Actually Carried Over for Carrie in this episode.
Oh, I see what you've done there with the wordplay.
It's actually spelt differently. There's a little subtle difference there.
Ring-a-ding-ding, just before you get onto that.
Okay.
I have a little compliment to give you.
Oh, my God, I love compliments.
Okay. Handsome teacher Peter has a swiffy grey hair.
Yes.
I feel like it's very similar to yours.
Yeah, come on. But, like, that's a terrible thing to say because he's boring. He's a boring man.
Yeah, but we're not talking about his personality, James. We're just talking about his hair.
He's a boring-looking man also.
If I married you for your personality, I wouldn't be here. But it's your hair, mate. So, you know.
Well, I'm shaving my hair off. You're going to have to get used to my terrible personality.
No, damn it. I'm here for the hair. No, yeah, I was just a side note, ring the ding. Go back to your your storyline.
These are my storylines that I'm surprised carried over for Carrie. One of which being we saw the jewelry designer again. Jewelry. Which is like, is a free thing, by the way. Put it on your Instagram. Always hustling. Nothing wrong with that.
Hustling.
And Carrie goes on a date and then lets a man down gently before being like, all right, let's do one more date so I can let you down gently. Yet again, because this is not the man that Carrie is going to end up with. He's training wheels. I think I mentioned that last week. You know what I mean?
He certainly did. Of course he's training wheels.
There's nothing wrong with that.
What are they going to do in season two otherwise?
What's wrong with him though? You know what I mean? Because there's always something wrong. Maybe not personally, but there's like, you know, there's something that's not going to connect.
Yeah, there's something going on.
It just might be the lack of connection.
Maybe he has one of those like S&M closets or something.
Maybe he does. Maybe he has a shock of white pubic hair.
Correct, and that he's dyed red like Samantha did in one of the seasons.
Here's something that I think you would appreciate, and I thought of you. When their food arrives at the table,
romantic.
That's right, is a compliment for you. You always have food regret.
Yes.
So Carrie and Miranda swapped meals because they wanted the other thing that the other person has.
Correct.
And you, I would say at least half the time we go and order food, we'll order the food and then you'll sit there and you go, actually, did I actually want that? I don't know if I actually wanted that. And I'm like, you should go and catch them before they start cooking your food. And then you'll scurry up to the counter like a rat and you'll change your food order. But then you'll come back and you're feeling really good about your decision. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like what they say, right? If you want to make a decision, you've got two options. You flip a coin, right?
Correct.
And whatever it lands on, if you're disappointed, you're supposed to pick the other thing. Does
or
that make sense?
You can just check in with your body and figure out what you want to eat and then order that.
Yeah, you could do that. You could do that.
I can't flip a coin and my body won't tell me what I want.
No, you will. You flip
That's
a coin.
Confusing.
No, you flip a coin and if it lands on a thing and you're like, oh, I'm kind of disappointed because I was hoping it would be the other thing, you've picked the wrong thing.
I see. So I have to go with that thing.
Anyway, Excellent. Miranda Excellent. Says, I'm the girlfriend. She's saying, I'm Shay's girlfriend. And Shay's like, I don't know about this. That's a situation where also like that's a common monogamous relationship situation where these are things you need to clarify. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And this is obviously also a very new endeavor for her. But even if it wasn't, you check in. You don't just be like, this is my girlfriend. You know what I mean? This is my partner. We're dating.
Yes.
We've been together 3 months or whatever. You don't do that.
No.
What are you thinking, Miranda?
I know.
Get your head in the game.
No, I have
This is the big city. This is serious business.
I do have to rewind a little and remind you of the previous episode where they both said they loved each other.
Yeah, but that doesn't – no, you still have to clarify. I'm not interested in any of that, especially dating Shay, you know, because Shay's all about new rules and the new world order.
They are. They're very woke. They do the podcast. Okay, here is a bone that I have to pick.
Oh, I love bones.
A bone that I have to pick. So Lizette, the fancy jewelry designer, says to Carrie, I'm such a fan of the podcast. I find it very hard to believe that Lizette is listening
no way.
To that podcast. And then, it is so bad.
She also would have known that Carrie's husband was dead, correct. Which makes me think that she did not listen to the podcast, correct. Which is fine. Which is fine. Because often, you know, people say to me like, oh, but I should listen to podcasts or whatever. I'm like, just please don't. I'd rather not.
But and she then, says she's obsessed with their podcast. That's a big call.
Obsessed with being a big liar, maybe. Cosette or whatever your name is.
Yeah. I've got the castle on a cloud.
Yeah, that's right.
That's what she was singing alone. Okay, fun fact about Lizette as well, because I listened to The Writer's Room. Love that podcast.
Sure.
Last week's episode, she's lying on a couch in all the glittery stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I had not connected that that episode was called something, something about the witch.
Yeah.
Whatever it was. Bewitched? Bewitched.
Bewitched.
So the whole show, that last episode, is based around the idea that Carrie is a witch.
Oh, okay.
Because she has green, green face mask on when Lizette answers the door to her the first time around.
She's screaming out a window.
She's screaming out, she's flying around a broomstick. She's cackling at people
cackling
in the street.
Away. She killed her husband. Yeah.
She totally did. There's also that like brownie sponsor that's dropped in called the Fat Witch.
That's true.
You know, and the
giving
witch.
Treats correct. Like a witch would.
Exactly. So many witchy references. And then also the scene where Lizette is asleep on the couch in the glittery, glittery dress.
Mm.
Carrie is supposed to come in a little bit like Sleeping Beauty. And so she's Lizette is Sleeping Beauty, holding
spider.
Asleep with a champagne glass in her hand. Very hard to do, confused. And they kind of slow-mo the camera a bit and Carrie like creeps in like a creepy witch to like look at her like she's the old witchy haggard witch and she turns down the thing and blows the candle out and she does it very similarly to how she does in Hocus Pocus. When
she's Hocus Pocus is coming back. You saw that?
I know. I'm so excited about that.
Are you excited for the Santa Claus TV series, the sequel to the Santa Claus trilogy
Definitely not.
Starring
I hate
Tim Allen?
He's a creep.
You hate Tim Allen?
Yes.
Why? Because he went to jail for cocaine possession?
Correct.
That's the only reason?
No, I just don't like Yes. No, he's just a terrible human, I could tell.
Look, I don't agree with a lot of things that Tim Allen has done in his life and his opinions, but I don't know if we can confirm that Tim Allen is a bad person.
All I'm saying is he's a bad person.
Okay.
I don't know him. I don't know his mother, so I'm sorry if she listens to this show.
Nah, she's dead. Don't worry about it.
Okay. Well, I think he's a bad person. Because, okay, here's my theory
about
it.
Oh, my God.
I was watching The Santa Claus because, you know, I love Christmas.
Yeah.
And I was re-watching it in the, you know, remembering, bringing up my nostalgia like a witch.
Yeah, we did three videos on the Santa Claus trilogy last Christmas.
Last Christmas you did the Santa Claus trilogy. Anyway, I just watched it and re-watched it and realized that he's a jerky McJerk face in that movie.
He's a character.
Yeah, but he's basically the same character in everything. Which leads me to
He's a lovable
think,
dad in Home Improvement.
No, but he's also a jerk. Okay. He's also selfish and he doesn't do anything. And he's also a guy in the 90s at the height of their fame and I feel like he's a jerk. I just get it. I get the bad vibes. I mean,
all right,
you know, most... Well, I mean,
just
most
to clarify, Tim Allen hasn't been cancelled for anything yet. He did go to jail for cocaine possession, but I also feel like there should be a road back for people, do you know what I mean? I think in most
situations. Probably the cocaine jail.
And for nearly most situations, there should be a road to redemption for nearly everybody. There are exceptions.
I absolutely agree with that.
He's Buzz Lightyear, Claire.
I know.
I can't believe I'm stepping in to defend Tim Allen.
I don't know why.
I don't even like the Santa Claus movies.
Look, I'm not basing this on any fact that I know. And or only from my bones.
Just a vibe.
Just a vibe.
Okay, well, hopefully something comes out about Tim Allen that is just absolutely terrible.
Everyone's favorite Tim Allen.
So you would know. No, he's not anyone's favorite now. My favorite story about Tim Allen is that, like, because he was on set dressed as Santa and he's in this huge rubber fat suit and they're filming in the middle of summer and he hates it. And all the elves around him, you know, they're all elves. They're children. They're played by children.
Yes.
And so we're like, oh, my God, it's Santa. And he's just like... punching darts, that's smoking, for anybody who doesn't know, in his trailer. Like, fuck it, I'm not Santa, leave me alone. So, yeah. Interestingly enough, though, Tim Allen, you're talking about the height of his power.
Yes.
He's the week that the Santa Claus came out, he had the number one movie in the box office, which is Santa Claus, the number one TV show, Home Improvement, and the number one book in the same time. Tim Allen was huge.
That's what I'm saying. I'm pretty
But that's
sure
okay. You can make Madonna probably did a similar thing with a Vita and an album and whatever.
Yes, I know. I'm just saying.
Madonna also kind of sucks, though.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Did you see her recent bum under a bed photo?
No.
So recently, Madonna put on fishnet tights and took a photo of her bum and put it on the Instagrams.
Okay.
With her, it was kind of like under a semi under a bed, like peeking out.
Okay.
It was a spectacular bum.
I'm sure it is.
For, you know, a woman.
They say the secret to longevity is
Botox.
That's money. Oh. You just need to have a lot of money.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Then you can get whatever kind of bum you want.
Speaking of money, let's go back to the Sex and the City.
Let's talk about the dinner at that Anthony comes to.
Okay, so
easily the highlight of the episode. Laugh out loud moment.
I have to say, in this episode, Anthony is the only redeeming
MVP, mate.
So good. Okay, it starts though, even before the dinner, he's on the phone and he's dressed in the Hot Fellas bread goods out blue jumpsuit.
He's looking good. I don't mind saying so.
Yeah, but also, like, he's not like a hot fella.
He's 62. He's looking great.
But it's just really hilarious to me. He's like, no one better complain. Come at me. Or something. And he's like, I don't pay these guys enough. And he's like carrying a big sack of bread, like some kind of sexy Santa Claus.
Yeah.
Just like sweaty and Italian and yelling.
Yeah.
Anyway, that made me laugh. You laughed out loud too.
I did.
I listed all the times when you laughed out loud next to me. And that was one of them.
Don't do that. I feel like I'm being watched. I feel like you're tracking my period to keep track of my moods. But no, the funniest bit was when he brings a hunky guest to the dinner at Charlotte's house, and he's like, "Oh, the guest is like, oh, this is a Jewish dinner," and they're like, "What's his name? Not Anthony. What's his name? Charlotte's husband."
Oh, Harry.
Harry.
How could you forget our boy Harry?
I know. How could I forget
it? He got his schlong out last week.
I remember. I closed my eyes and I can see it, but it's smiling at me. But and he's like, "Oh, did you know the Holocaust was fake?" And Anthony's immediate reaction is to scream, "Get out!"
And I had to rewatch it.
So funny.
I rewatched it again, and it's just so good. Is it the line or is it the delivery?
It's everything. Everything about that scene works. I love that he's like, he's a clown, Anthony. Do you know what I mean? He's a comic relief, but it also shows that he's not an idiot and he has like morals. Do you know what I mean? He's like that. That's a ridiculous thing to say. And get the fuck out of here.
And he doesn't even argue the point. He's just like, get out! That's it. And then the scene ends.
Yeah.
It's just so well timed. And most of the time in this series overall, I feel like the comic timing has been great.
Yeah.
And that's what's annoying about this episode. It sort of swings and misses
a
lot of that. Whereas that particular scene is just genius. I just don't know why it's so bad, this scene. I don't know.
Maybe we'd bad friend of mine or whatever.
What's interesting is that we do see kind of the convergence of all of the new characters, Seema, Naya, and
got a note here. Yeah, worlds are colliding. Friends of friends are meeting. Something that I hate. I don't like that when people do that.
Does it make you feel uncomfortable?
I don't like when people
Lisa
are like
Todd Wexley turns up in a white limo.
This is a friend of my friend or whatever, and you have to have a friend of a friend meet a friend. Oh, I'm like, oh no, oh no. Stay in your lane. Stay in your own groups. That's what I like.
What did you think about the Naya Wallace storyline with her and her husband?
They're going to break up. That's what I think. Yeah, I think she's not going to have a kid and they're going to break up.
Yeah.
Which is fine because they want, you know,
that's
kind of something that if you feel like you can't compromise on, then.
Because he wants kids and shit. They've been trying to get to work,
you know?
And it's clear that she doesn't.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe she'll come around. Maybe he'll come around. But that's the way it feels like it's going. I will say this about if we're talking relationships with Shay and Miranda, I was expecting Miranda to show up and last week, like visit Shay on the tour that they were doing or whatever and walk in and Shay's with somebody else. But they didn't go that direction. Miranda walks in but Shay is like, I'm busy, not with somebody else, but just like.
And just at her apartment.
Yeah, don't do that because this is time for me. And I thought that because last week I was like, I kind of want it to be something else. And it was something else. I appreciate it. I thought it was a good twist as opposed to like, oh, but I didn't know we weren't
she
exclusive.
She thinks that she's walking yeah. into a rom-com, but actually it's a car accident.
Exactly.
Yes, correct. And I actually think in the writer's room that was a deliberate choice.
I liked it.
Yeah, Michael Patrick King alluded to that. He said we've set it up so the audience thinks that she's headed, that cab that she's in is headed into a brick wall, and it's not.
Wonderful.
Yeah. What I also feel like you would have appreciated that because you love your own space and time.
I fucking love it, mate.
You love it. And you would hate it if I turned up with a box of cookies unannounced.
I would love that. I love seeing you.
All right. Okay,
just cool. Make sure you schedule it. And I don't want to see you unless I know you're coming. No, it's different. When you're married or you're with someone or whatever.
They're all the time.
And you live together or whatever. Yeah, like you're supposed to. Like that's part of the thing, the deal that you make, and that might be everybody's particular situation. Maybe they're together in different houses and or different rooms or whatever. But you know, if you establish the rules of whatever, then that's how it is. Yeah. It's like with open relationships, right? Like how we're in one.
Oh mate, I'm so tired.
No, we're in regular, boring, monogamous relationships. Like
boring, just.
Boring, bog standard stuff, everyone. Like that's not for me, like an open relationship. That's not something.
Well, let me tell you, I got something to say.
Like, I don't have a problem with it if that's the, you know, that's the thing that somebody, that's the relationship that they decide to build and they're both happy with it. You know what I mean?
Totally.
Fine, whatever works for you, you know?
Yeah. I will say this, and it's probably my age and the, maybe the friendship circles that I've been in.
Mm.
I am yet to meet someone who is in an open relationship where it all ends well.
Yeah, but I think also
that doesn't not to say that it doesn't end well.
Yeah.
And that's not to say that it doesn't work for people. I'm absolutely sure that it does. It's just that in my anecdotal small circles, whenever anyone has entered into an open relationship, I always have felt that one partner is more invested in it being open than the other, and then it leads down a road that ends up in misery and sadness.
I completely agree that that is probably very common, but I'm also very sure that we probably know people that are in open relationships who aren't, you know, that don't advertise it to the world, you know what I mean?
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that for a fact, but I think when there are less taboos about sexuality and relationships and what that means and being, you know, bound to another person and what that means for you individually, I think in like the decades to come and years to come and new generations, that will
change,
pivot, or, you know, or is slowly pivoting to whatever people want it to be. I don't think there should be like a set rule of like, you know, because monogamy doesn't work for everybody. You know what I mean?
That's true.
And that's fine. You know what I mean? But I think it's a conversation that, you know, you need to have and you need to be with a person who is understanding of that, you know?
Yeah, I agree. I guess.
Anyway, what I'm saying is, Claire, that yes, I accept the open relationship that you asked me about before the show.
I guess in the end, though, right?
Terrifying, though. A lot of work and terrifying.
Oh,
not for
terrifying.
Me.
I'm so tired as it is. That just seems stressful. What I will say about that whole thing with Shay, too, what I did like about that character is that they are really clear from the outset about their boundaries, what they will and won't do, what they will and won't accept, and what they will stand for or not stand for.
Totally.
And that idea that then having firm boundaries to say, no, this is my time. And this is and not be angry. Shay's not being angry.
Yep.
They're just being themselves.
Yes.
And being open and direct and saying to Miranda, this is what I want.
Yep.
What I find really interesting is that Miranda slips into that scene when she goes to visit Shay.
Mm.
She slips into the Miranda that we know of old that just suddenly goes neurotic.
Yeah.
And just is just like, what am I doing? Oh, my God, I've seen myself with a box of cookies thinking I'm in a rom-com. How embarrassing.
Yeah.
And she's like, it's fine, it's fine. And she goes into that whole other realm, which we've seen her do with previous partners and with Steve as well.
Yeah.
Because she has previously been really commitment phobic. Up until Steve, she was super commitment phobic.
Yeah.
And so,
and, you know, like career orientated because that's what she really wanted at that point.
Yeah,
in time.
Yeah, exactly. So it's interesting. I just feel like I don't know if they did it that well, but I could see where they were trying to do
it. It's also interesting that, you know, Miranda got a call from Shay at the end and screened it.
Yeah.
Which I'm trying to think, like, I don't think I've ever done that to anybody. Maybe I'm just too stupid. You know what I mean? I'm not like, what's the game you play here? You know what I mean? Like I don't screen calls unless it's someone I'm like, I'm not talking to this person now or possibly ever. Do you know, I'm talking like in relationships, you know what I mean?
Yes,
I don't.
Yeah, just listening to you and thinking you barely ever answer your phone.
No, I'm talking about in a relationship, like with a girl. Like
yeah, but you haven't dated that many people other than me.
I'm in an open relationship and I don't know what you're talking about.
No, but I mean, it's just
have you screened? Have you screened calls and like dating? Not as like
I'm trying to remember back in the day
because I remember
moons ago.
Well, after we met,
yeah,
you know, we exchanged numbers, and the next day you messaged me and said,
"So embarrassed."
Do you mind if I tell this story? Yeah. I don't think it's embarrassing. I think it's cool. And this is also part of the reason why I like you and still continue to this very day.
Good to know.
Maybe even verging on love. I don't know yet. We'll figure it out.
Our storyline isn't finished.
The next day after we met, you messaged me, and I can't remember the specifics, but it was great to meet you or whatever. You know, look forward to catching up. I don't know. It was something like that. And I wrote something back. Hey, it was really nice to meet you as well. And then in the next message I said, also, just so you know, you're supposed to wait 2 days to play it cool before you message somebody. And then you wrote back and said, well, that is true, but also you're not supposed to send two messages in a row, which is what I did to you. And I'm like, girl, you got me. So that's and that was like a nice moment. And But also I appreciated that you did message me the next day and you weren't like, you know,
yeah,
it seemed to be.
I think as well in that message I said something like, I'm sending you that first awkward message.
Oh, you did too. That's right. Yeah.
I think
no, you're right. You did.
One of the reasons it worked is because, A, we fell so head over heels for each other.
Embarrassing.
It was embarrassing. Like my dear friend Kate was there and she just said from the minute that you sat down next to me, she couldn't talk to me. Like it was like no one else was there other than you.
She told me, because we caught up with Kate, we're still friends with, the other day, and was like, yeah, I came to the thing we met at, I came to the after party or whatever and just saw that you two were so locked in that I just was like, okay, I'm leaving. And I'm like, I didn't even know you were there.
I had no idea she was there. We were just that like full on,
yeah,
head over heels for each other, which, you know, and that's one of the things with you. And it's funny that we now do a podcast together because I think the minute that we sat down to talk, we have never stopped talking
that's
to
true.
Each other.
Yeah.
And we're still talking to each other now. So it's, and I was 19 when we met.
And I was 42.
To be fair, you've always looked 42. Though when we met, you had black hair and a red streak.
I looked great. And you had a great fringe. Anyway, let's not get into
let's
it
not
because.
Get into our terrible haircut.
Claire, it's time for Samantha's speculation.
Ooh.
Ding, ding. Nothing. Look, it's dead in the water. But fingers crossed for a Hail Mary big finish season 10 finale reveal.
You are.
Here we go.
So
come
much
on.
Thinking, and I am so right, as I knew I would always be right. Dead in the water, mate. It's buried. Is there even a skerrick to you of hope?
There's always hope. I will be sticking around for the credits, for the after credits.
Sometimes
there are, Claire, in the shows that I watch.
You don't understand. I'm telling you, you are out of your depth in this world.
I agree.
No, you don't know. You're basing the kind of things that happen in your universe of men in tight, like, Lycra.
You're right.
Or bloody slashing whatever, yelling at each other during an apocalypse.
You're right.
You're basing that on this world. It's a different world, mate.
Yeah.
I'm telling you.
I know. And you're right. You're right.
Thank you.
You're right.
However, maybe I'll be eating my words next.
Oh, God, I would love that. Oh, my God.
I'm absolutely not.
No.
I'm absolutely not.
Look.
Even their social media. I don't know if you've noticed, but this, because I follow all the socials. I follow everything. I even follow the And Just Like That costume page.
Wow.
Man, I go deep. On there, the picture today was Carrie, Miranda and Charlotte hugging and saying something like, oh, can't beat friends like these or something. It's just, no.
This is
not coming on. And also now I just cannot believe that her management let her do the How I Met Your Mother reboot.
Why not?
I don't know.
Successful property. Hilary Duff is in it.
Yeah, but it's not going to be like anywhere near as good as this.
I feel like it's something she just wanted to do. Does she narrate the series? Is she in it?
I don't know. I haven't watched it.
Yeah,
as
cool.
Probably most people haven't.
You got a problem with Bob Saget because he narrated the last series of How I Met Your Mother?
I have so many problems. Don't get me started on him. I've got Tim Allen. I've got Bob Saget all in my firing line. No, I'm joking.
You know he's dead, right? He just died.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he died. Did you not know that?
Oh, no. Bob Bob Saget. I'm so sorry. And also, I don't have anything against Bob Saget at all. I was just being
You say that now that he's dead.
Oh, no. Oh, I feel so terrible.
Yeah, he was America's dad.
You should yell at me. Get out!
Oh, God.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, colleagues. Take that out. That was really annoying.
No, colleagues. Leave it in.
No. You should yell at me. Get out! Is that better?
That's way better.
How did he do it? Anthony did it in such a great way. Do it. It was so hilarious.
Amazing.
That's the
the bubbling rage. And look, maybe you've got some bubbling rage that you would like to release. And you know what's interesting? Because I have found, and I've also been told, that the best way, like the most way, that, like a very lethargic way to release your pent-up energy is to review a podcast. Specifically, this podcast, Suggestible in the City, which you can do in-app, and maybe, just maybe, you'll get your review read out on the show, just like Thaddeus 007. Best podcast about a show about a bad podcast. This podcast combines two of my favorite things, listening to Claire and James and experiencing a TV show vicariously. I've never watched anything related to Sex and the City, but I really enjoy listening to these two just discuss a revival of such a big show that wants to engage with some important current issues. Thank you, Claire and James, from Thad.
Aw, Thad.
Thanks,
You've
Thad.
You've got a rad name, Thad.
I agree.
Thanks, Thad. All right, and if you would like to give us your thoughts on Samantha speculation or any other big feels, you can email stressfulpod@gmail.com, just like Ryan has.
Oh, my God.
Hi, Claire and James, if you're reading this. I want to email because of the new Suggestible in the City upload. I'm sorry that you guys have had COVID, but on the bright side, it's kind of in fashion right now.
It's true.
That's what I said to my friends over the last 2 weeks as I got sick and waited over Christmas to find a testing appointment.
Oh, bogus, man. That's bogus.
I know. My goodness, I just wanted to share my experience with you for one reason in particular. I'm not sure what variant I had, but when I lost my smell about 5 days after first symptoms, my nose would feel like it was on fire.
Oh my goodness, I don't know what that's about.
No, we didn't have that one. It was surprising, and after being very snotty for a few days, it felt like all the snot had burnt away.
God.
Interesting. I'm fully vaccinated and got my booster days before I got infected, so it wasn't much more than fatigue. But anyway, I hope you guys are doing okay. I know that when I had COVID, even though I'm a big movie buff, I wasn't really in the mood to watch anything. I just wanted to play Fortnite and shoot people and swing around as Spider-Man.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that, mate.
Good suggestible for James, TBH, to be honest.
To be honest, yeah.
But if you do want to watch something to kill a couple of hours, I've really fallen in love with Kristen Stewart Princess Diana movie, Spencer.
Oh, I've been meaning to watch that. I'm a big Chrissy Stewart fan.
Oh, me
for
too.
For reasons I will not divulge. I'm not going to, you know what? We'll just leave it at that. Just everyone pay attention. Don't tell anybody, Claire.
I'm not saying anything.
Secrets.
I don't really know why you're saying that. Anyway, it's available to rent and I didn't love it the first time I saw it, but it's a very nice, moody, earnest story about the frustrations of what we have to do in life. And I really enjoyed it. I'm a 21-year-old filmmaker who has never seen Sex and the City, but really enjoys Suggestible in the City because
Hells
you
yeah.
guys are real fun to listen to.
Yeah.
Sending you good vibes. Thanks, Ryan. I hope your nose is no longer burning.
No,
and the
I know.
Spencer
that would be...
movie has really helped.
I agree.
I'm so pumped for that. I really enjoyed The Crown as well.
Yeah. It's available on streaming now. We should watch it. We should totally watch it.
We should totally. Also, I need to watch Dune.
Oh, Dune.
Dune. I haven't watched it yet.
How do you pronounce it?
Dune.
No, it's Dune.
June.
No, Dune.
June.
No, June.
June.
Jean.
Jean.
Jean. Jean Valjean.
French fries of fruits.
It's Jean Reno.
Jean Reno. Jean June. Okay, that has been us for suggestible in the city.
Exactly.
And the city.
That's right. We'll be back for the big finale.
The big finale.
Who knows? We don't know whether we're going to do a season two of this.
Yeah, who knows? We'll see. Penultimate episode. Is that what this
That's
is?
That's today.
Next week.
Yep.
Ultimate.
That's how it works, yeah.
I love it.
Thank
we'll
you.
We'll be right here.
Thank you as always for Collings for
editing this week's
editing
episode.
This
and thank you as always for everyone for listening.
What a good old time.
Good old time. Good old fun times. And Suggestible, we'll be back in a few weeks.
Not yeah, no, next week. Yeah.
Next week.
It'll be back before this goes out again.
Yeah.
Next week. Comes out Wednesday.
It does.
All right, goodbye.
Bye.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.